Money FM 89.3, best of weekends. International News Review.
Welcome back to Saturday morning here on Money FM 89.3. Our great pleasure to welcome the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, the 13th Secretary, Rodney Slater, and Steve Okun, Senior Advisor, McLarty Associates. Good morning. Welcome to you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Neil. And good evening, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning. Before we start, I'm impressed, Steve. Thank you. I'm impressed with the T-shirt, Steve. I'm assuming it's 30 years old.
Yeah, looking good.
It's right about there, yep.
And Secretary Slater, of course, we need to mention that you are also a partner at Squire Patton and Boggs as well. And we're really happy to have you here because this is marking the 30th anniversary of former President Bill Clinton's announcement, October 1991, that he was going to run for president. And you were a close friend and colleague with him going back to the days of when he was a governor in Arkansas. What is this anniversary bring back for you?
Well, clearly it was a wonderful occasion that we had just last weekend. And I think it was made all the more special because, as you know, he did have some health issues and was admitted to a hospital, but earlier that day was released. And so we were all elated to hear that he was in, you know, good form and on his way back to just his just positive and healthy self. But on that evening, we reflected on the 30 years since, you know, his election. Mm. And I remember being a native Arkansan, being there with him and thinking about this journey, how difficult it would be, clearly coming from the middle of this country, from a relatively small state within the United States, also running against an incumbent who really had high name recognition, but also just high approval ratings at the time. Yeah. This was after the first Gulf War, and President Bush was very, very popular, so much so that few Democrats decided to take him on. But Governor Clinton did, and as they say, the rest is history. To say that is to just gloss over, though, all of the ups and downs of the campaign, yeah, as we did last Sunday evening when we talked about it. But all of the ups and downs notwithstanding, he was persistent. He endured. And frankly, as his, you know, sort of favorite writer, Marcus Aurelius, once said, you know, what is in the way becomes the way. Hmm. That was really the attitude in which he embraced the challenge of the election. Hmm.
Secretary Slater, it's such a fascinating story. I mean, looking at the various presidents who were elected, they often say that JFK was the first television president. President Obama, yeah, was the first social media president. President Trump was arguably the first Twitter president. What was it about President Clinton that got him over the line against the incumbent, as you mentioned, Ed? What was it that drove him to victory?
Well, you know, I actually think it was about the magnetism of, number one, his personality, his ability to communicate. You know, he's of the mind that everybody has a story and I want to hear it. Now, that's a little different from most politicians because most politicians believe that they have a story and that everyone else wants to hear it. But it's something when you can really establish a dialogue with the American people. And he did that. And because he was able to do that, I think that it was an election about ideas.
Yeah.
And clearly it was happening at a time when really no Democrat had been elected to two terms since FDR. And we had had 12 years of Republican leadership prior to his victory. And so it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he could pull it off. He also selected someone from a neighboring state from the same region in Senator Al Gore. And they were sort of two young guns, if you will. They would toss around the football like the Clintons, and they showed youthfulness and charisma. And that carried the day. But it was first and foremost a campaign of ideas. And they believed that the American people could understand and appreciate the nuance of putting people first.
Yeah.
The talents of opportunity for all, responsibility from all, and a sense of community among all. So it was those sorts of things, and they carry today.
Thank you, Secretary Slater. I want to bring in Steve Okun. And Steve, remembering back to those days, Clinton was the first presidential candidate who had not served in the war, in a war, more specifically the Second World War, like all of his predecessors had, recent predecessors. He was on famously on Arsenio Hall playing his saxophone with his sunglasses on. I mean, he was the cool presidential candidate for the first time in a long time. Yes, he was a white male, but he was anything but a traditional white male presidential candidate. What are your remembrances going back to that time, Steve, as you were, you know, working in government and doing different things?
Well, you know, that's right, Glenn. He changed the culture, right, of what it was to be a president. A president, you know, is you know, Secretary Slater said, you know, who really cared about everybody, right? He cared about, you know, working people. He cared, you know, from, you know, he cared about, you know, the black community. He cared about, he wanted to see businesses survive and thrive as well, because it took everybody to work together to make that happen. And he did it in a way, you know, like, you know, being cool, right? It, you know, going on, you know, Arsenio Hall and playing the saxophone, you know, going on MTV and being asked famously whether he wore boxers or briefs. Mm. Nobody, no politician would have done that.
Right. Admitting yet, to smoking so he could hat connect, and inhaling. Right. Let's not forget that one.
So he changed. He was the most culturally significant change in how campaigns were done. And you know, now you see that you know, the Americans expect their presidents to be accessible. But he's the one who could connect with those people, as the secretary said.
Well, that's a key point, Secretary Slater, connecting with the people, bringing people together. It echoes some of what President Biden said during his election campaign, this idea of bringing, let's be honest, a fractured, polarized country, if not world, together as best we can. What lessons do you think President Biden could learn from a Democratic two-time president like Bill Clinton?
Well, I think he manifests it with his belief in the American people, his belief that we can work across the political divide, his effort to really represent the interests of the middle class. And he talks about an economy that's from the bottom up and then out rather than trickle down. And he's really, in his own way, seeking to reshape the political and the economic landscape of the United States, again, with a policy that is designed to lift all boats. And so it's a very exciting time. I think we're going to have, by the way, a successful bipartisan piece of transportation legislation. We can talk a little bit about that. But I think also through this reconciliation process, he's going to get a lot of the other components of his program passed as well. And he talks about building back better, not just building back for building back sake, but building back better, making sure that our transportation system, let's say, is more resilient, more sustainable, and more equitable, and that across the society as a whole. So I'm excited about his administration, and I think that it mirrors many of the efforts of the Clinton-Gore administration to put people first.
Secretary Slater, let's talk about transportation, right? It has been a problem in the United States for decades now. The Eisenhower Expressway system has been crumbling since it was first built in the 50s. And successive governments have tried to come together on something that should be a no-brainer for the American, not only politicians, but voting public, on making sure that the U.S. infrastructure is first class and it works. It not only is important for domestic U.S. Concerns, but also for international trade, et cetera. You know, from your days when you were working on that problem and as you have seen it over the successive decades, why has it been such a problem for so many politicians to agree on making sure the roads are working and the bridges don't crumble and we have internet connections? It seems unusually interesting that this is a problem for a lot of governments.
Yeah. Well, let me just say that I was very fortunate in that And not only did I have gifted team members like Steve Okun, and I want to acknowledge his presence and his relationship with the two of you, yes, and the wonderful work that he did, not only for us, but with UPS, just a wonderful company, and then others, McLarty, the McLarty Group, and Mag McLarty used to be the chief of staff, the first chief of staff for President Clinton. So that great work. But I think that we've just gotten into a period where people want to score points rather than score victories with the passage of significant pieces of legislation. And I think it takes someone like a President Biden, again, in the mold of President Clinton. And I would also say, I think President Obama was of this mindset as well. Let's do those things that bring us together rather than separating us. And let's seek to find common ground. And that means giving some and also demanding some, but giving some. And let us not play to our constituencies, but really play to history. Because when you assume an office like that, that really is what your audience should be. I mean, history, and how well you serve within the time that you have and with the opportunity that you have. And so we had the good fortune of being able to find that common ground with transportation. And I would hasten to say here that this represents sort of the foundation for what I hope will be a successful term for the Biden administration. He's been able to cobble together a pretty good piece of bipartisan transportation legislation, again, governed by these themes of resilience, sustainability, and equity. And that is giving him the opportunity that to then go forward in what we call a reconciliation process, where he tries to get other parts of his program passed. I think by the end of the day, you know, the end of the year here, he will be successful on both accounts. And I think that will be a good start, because that will demonstrate that we can get things done by working together and everybody giving something in that process.
Yeah, I want to come back.
I was just going to tell one quick story to illustrate this. When you know, we were working on airline competition regulation, you know, Secretary Slater sent me up to the Hill to brief the House Aviation Subcommittee staff on what we were doing. And at the end of that briefing, you know, this was the days before email, and I, you know, they had some questions for me I couldn't answer. And I said, well, I'll go back to DOT, talk to the experts on the policy side and get back to you. And I looked to the Republican staff and I said, what's your fax number? And they give me a fax number. And I looked to the Democratic staff and I said, what's your fax number? And they said, same fax number. And I'm like, you share a fax machine? And they're like, why would we waste taxpayer money with two different fax machines?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the approach to transportation back then. There wasn't a Republican transportation view and a Democratic transportation view. There was a bipartisan transportation view. We've lost that. Hopefully, we're getting it back, as Secretary Slater mentioned. But that's how much Washington had changed, where, you know, the Secretary talks about scoring points and not victories.
Absolutely. Right. That was Steve Okun, and we're talking with Secretary Rodney Slater, the 13th U.S. Secretary of Transportation and a partner at Squire Patton Boggs, obviously worked with President Bill Clinton. Now, the key word you keep mentioning there, Secretary Slater, is reconciliation. You're obviously talking about bipartisan politics, diplomatically and domestically, but what about internationally? You know, President Clinton tried to navigate a similar policy of reconciliation during his time. Just this week, President Biden made some comments about China that had to be reined in a little bit. What do you see now internationally? Where does President Biden go from here in seeking that reconciliation internationally that you speak of?
Well, I can tell you that President Clinton looked to Asia in a big way. I mean, China was invited to join the WTO. We liberalized our relations with China. We also made significant progress with Vietnam in particular. And as you know, we had had, you know, a military conflict, and we normalized those relations. And there was also this clear recognition of the importance of Asia to the global economy, and clearly the role of the U.S. in that economy. One thing that President Biden talks about is how he plans to meet especially China, at the middle of the arena, and to really be, you know, competitive, to be there as a partner where that's possible and as a competitor when that's necessary. And I just think that we're going to see that role play out, that relationship play out in ways that will be a benefit to the broader economy. And clearly, Singapore plays a very, very important role in this regard. And by the way, I'd be remiss if I just did not applaud the tremendous economic prowess and diplomatic success that Singapore has enjoyed over the years. And President Clinton tremendous respect for, you know, your leadership over the years and positive relations with your leadership over the years. So I see President Biden continuing with that recognition. Now, clearly, President Obama tried to do something that was quite significant with this trade agreement. And I think the U.S. is going to try to work its way back into, you know, those kinds of discussions as we go forward as well. But I'm excited about U.S.-Asian relations as we go forward.
Steve,
I'll just say, let me just add one thing, you know, Neil, on your question is that, but for the U.S. to do that, it has to have the right foreign policy, but it has to get its own house in order in Washington. Like, you know, the U.S. is making all these commitments and President Biden's making all these commitments on climate and how much we're going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But if the legislation Secretary Slater talked about doesn't pass, if the infrastructure bill doesn't pass, and if the companion legislation doesn't pass, we can't keep those commitments that President Biden is making. So we can do everything. We can have a great foreign policy, but we got to get our domestic house in order.
We really do.
And that's a struggle right now. And hopefully, I'm share the Secretary's optimism that we're going to get these bills passed before the President goes to Paris, or not to Paris, to Glasgow for the climate talks.
In a couple of weeks. That's right. That's right.
Secretary Slater, the conversations that you have with your former colleagues across the aisle in the Republican Party and politicians that you've known since then, what is the feeling among the political set that you know about the emotional fragility and the emotional state of the American electorate, both on the left and the right? You know, mm-hmm. We famously saw with Newt Gingrich and the Contract for America during the Clinton administration that there was a hard push to the religious right in the name of politics and advancing political causes. I don't think that's overstating it at all. Not to say that President Clinton was a perfect person, but they really pushed an agenda that has since pushed the country to the far right and the far left in ways that I don't think many people understand just how significant that was. Sorry, let's bring it to today. What are your what are your friends from that time and from now saying about the psyche of the American electorate? Where are we now, and where is this going?
Well, clearly, President Clinton sought to lead from the middle out. And that would be, you know, the middle and to the left on many issues, but then somewhat conservative on others. I think that President Biden is of that mind as well and of that philosophy. At the end of the day, our numbers are very, very tight in both the House and the Senate. I mean, it's basically 50-50 in the Senate. And then Speaker Pelosi only has 3 votes that she can stand to lose in the House. And then we've got some votes that require 60 votes in the Senate. And that's the whole filibuster question that we're trying to deal with as well.
Sure.
But I just think, again, it takes a leader who recognizes the value in the arguments of all concerned and who believes that I can hear you out, we can disagree, but we can still have respect and appreciation for one another as citizens. I think we've had some times when there have been those who argued that that was not the case. Either you're with me or you're viewed as being against me. And the legitimacy of your argument is not only, you know, something to be challenged, but also we get into this this effort of personal destruction. And I just think that that's not good. And I do not believe that President Biden will stoop to that level. I know that President Clinton would not. One thing I will say about Speaker Gingrich is that because he was a person of at least big ideas, they were able to find more common ground than you would imagine. Hmm. It's another case where people just disagree to disagree, and they seek to find victory in the disagreement rather than finding victory in the search for common ground. And I do think that that's problematic. But I think that if the effort is made to find that common ground, the American people see that, and that's what they want. And so I'm really feeling good about this administration. I think that President Biden has the strength of character to maintain this course. And I think he believes in it enough that he's willing to frankly have his political career, you know, either succeed or fail in that belief. But I think it's going to be a belief that will be rewarded with public support as well.
Well, thank you for that analysis. We do have to leave it there. Rodney Slater, the 13th U.S. Secretary of Transportation, a partner at Squire Patton and Boggs, and Steve Elkin, of course, our senior advisor for McLarty Associates. Gentlemen, thank you both for being on Money FM in Singapore today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Thank you for joining, sir.
International
thanks,
News
Steve.
Review.
Thank you. Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.